Okay, please pray with me. Dear Lord, we thank you that you have given us your word today, and we thank you so much that you continue to teach us many great things, and we pray that you will open up our hearts and help us to understand you well today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. One thing I personally don't like is fake restaurants. So about a month ago, I went to a Vietnamese restaurant in Strathfield, and I ordered a bowl of pho. Does anyone know what pho is? Who's actually Vietnamese? Good, because I don't know if my accent is good. It's probably quite bad. But anyway, whoever doesn't know what pho is, it's amazing. It is Vietnamese beef noodles. And I personally love pho. If you've never had it before, I think you should someday. Maybe I'll go with you, because it's awesome. But anyway, so this bowl of pho that I ordered it cost me $13, and that's quite expensive for pho, I think. But what made it worse was that this pho was not actually made by Vietnamese people. It was made by Korean people. Now, I've got nothing against Korean people. In fact, I love Korean people. I'm sorry, are there any Koreans here? No Korean people, it's all good. Anyway, I love Korean people anyway. But I can tell you that $13 bowl of pho was not pho. It was fake pho. And I think it's safe for me to say that no one in this room likes fake things. You don't like having friends that are fake. Maybe you've had experiences of friends who want to hang out with you just because they can get something out of you. You don't like having leaders that are fake. Prime ministers, perhaps, or presidents who say that they will make big changes but never end up doing what they say. But there's something else that I'm sure people don't like, and that is fake Christians. People who say that they are followers of Jesus but don't live like they are. And when we come to this section of the Bible, we see that Jesus himself also has a complaint to bring against those who are fake followers of Jesus. So in today's passage, Jesus explains to us the difference between a fake follower of Jesus and a real follower of Jesus. And the first thing that he shows us is that his real followers take the hard path. So have a look at verses 13 to 14. If you want to follow along in your little sheets, or if you have your Bibles open, you can do that too. So Jesus says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." If you're familiar with Jesus' teachings, you will know that he loves using images to describe things. And here he gives us an image comparing two different paths, one that is narrow and one that is wide. He's basically comparing two different ways of living, the narrow path that leads to life and the wide path that leads to destruction. The wide path is the popular path that many people take, but the narrow path is the less popular path, and not many people actually find it. He is basically telling his followers that being his follower is actually a very unpopular thing because it is a difficult path to take. Yet he also tells them that even though it is unpopular and difficult to follow that path, it is the only path to life. The other path is the easy path, and that is why it is such a popular path to take. You see, Jesus knows that he is not going to be popular. He knows that he is teaching a message that is unpopular. Jesus does not say that everyone in the world will find the path to life, but instead he says that only a few will find that path. And if only a few find it, then that means that most people, or many people, will be headed towards destruction. And that also means that perhaps there are people in this very room who are headed for destruction as well. And it's scary, isn't it? So what's your reaction to that? To be honest, I myself struggled with that. I struggled to accept this message in the past because I don't like the idea that there are many people headed towards destruction. But it's actually messages like this that make me actually believe what Jesus is saying is actually true. I mean, who would actually want to lie about something so horrific? Think about this. If you were trying to start a religion of your own, you'd probably want to attract as many people as possible. And in order to do that, you should probably make it a little bit easier for people to follow. You wouldn't want to make it seem too hard because that would just turn people off. But like I said, Jesus is not trying to be popular. He's just trying to tell people the hard truth that those who do not follow him are following a road to destruction. But he is also showing people the way to life. Jesus makes himself very clear here. If you want to follow him and find life, it is going to be a hard journey. It will not be easy at all. Jesus is not looking for people to just follow him because it's easy to do so. His true followers are people who will struggle through life. His true followers will face all kinds of resistance. People who insult you because you live a life that is so different. Or perhaps governments creating laws that go against your beliefs. And even family members who will reject you because you do not want to follow their way of life. About 5 years ago, I met a girl who was working at a hostel in Tokyo. She happened to be playing a Christian song on the guitar, and I recognized it and asked her where she learned that song. She told me that she had spent some time overseas in New Zealand, and she became a Christian because she went to church there and she was introduced to Jesus there. But she also told me that the reason why she was working at the hostel was because that was the only place she had to live. When she told her parents that she had become a Christian, they were furious with her and they kicked her out of the house. But she continued to stick to her faith because she knew that that was the only path to life. Even though her parents rejected her, she was not willing to give up her faith in Jesus. So she continued working at the hostel because her parents did not want to take her back. Now, when you become a Christian, you definitely can't expect life to be easy. It's not as if God suddenly makes life easy when you become a Christian. It's not like he will make all your problems go away when you become a Christian. Life will still be hard, and maybe even become even more difficult. You will face many hardships, including rejection. But it is the road that leads to life. And if you stick to it, you will find life. Oops, okay. The second thing is that the real followers of Jesus listen to and obey his words. So have a look at verses 15 to 23. In verse 15, Jesus says, "Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves." Like Jesus has already been saying, living as his follower is not easy. And now he explains that part of the reason is because there are many false prophets who will teach you the wrong thing. So a false prophet is basically a fake messenger, someone who says that they are from God, but what they actually teach you is not from God at all. And Jesus calls them wolves in sheep's clothing, because even though on the outside they seem harmless, they will actually lead you to the wide path of destruction. But of course, Jesus wants his followers to know the truth and to follow the truth. So he warns them about these false prophets. And in verse 16, he tells his followers that you can recognize the false prophets by their fruit. So remember how I said Jesus likes to use a lot of images? Well, we just saw a comparison just before between the narrow path and the wide path. And now he uses an image of two trees, the good tree and the bad tree. So the good tree will bear good fruit, but the bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Jesus is saying that it's the same with people. A true follower of Jesus will show their true colors through their actions. Do they obey Jesus? And a fake follower of Jesus will show their true colors through their actions as well. Do they disobey Jesus? Now have a look at verses 21 to 22. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. So what's the problem here? Well, what these people are doing sounds pretty amazing, doesn't it? It sounds quite impressive. They're doing amazing things like driving out demons and performing miracles even. But the problem is that although they do it in Jesus' name, that's all they're doing. They're just Christians by name. It doesn't matter if they even have the power to perform miracles and do amazing things. If they don't follow what Jesus says, then their power means nothing. And they cannot be truly called Jesus' disciples. And Jesus only has one response for such people. I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. So let's say, for example, that there is an amazing artist called Bobby Chan. And his paintings are famous all over the world. Then one day, a young man called Benny Chow, who admires his work, comes up to him and says, I want to become like you. Can I be your disciple? So Bobby accepts him and trains the young man for 3 years, teaching him how to paint like him. Now, after 3 years of training, the young man goes out and starts selling his paintings. And on each of his paintings, he writes, painted by Benny Chow, a disciple of Bobby Chan. But the problem is, his paintings are horrible, and they look nothing like Bobby Chan's paintings, not even a little bit. Then he goes back to Bobby Chan and says, look, I've sold some paintings, and I even wrote your name on them. And so Bobby Chan looks at Benny's paintings and is horrified, and he says to him, I never knew you. Away from me, you horrible painter. And so even though Benny calls Bobby his master, Bobby is ashamed to call Benny his disciple because his paintings are so bad. Now, in the same way, Jesus is ashamed of those who call themselves disciples but do not live the way that Jesus teaches. It's easy just to call Jesus your Lord and your master, but if your life looks nothing like the life of Jesus, then who will know that you are his disciple? And if you continually disobey him and then come to him and say to him, Master, look, I have done all these things in your name, Jesus will be horrified that you call yourself his disciple, because you have brought shame to his name. And he will tell you that he never knew you. Now, about 4 months ago, when I was on a plane, I had a conversation with the man sitting next to me. We chatted about what we do, and I found out that he was doing some kind of... he was a business representative for an IT company. I told him that I am doing church work, and then he told me that he has a bad impression of Christians. Now, I asked him why, and he told me that most of the Christians that he knew had worse behavior than the people that he knew that were not Christians. In fact, one of his friends was sexually abused by a church leader. And because of that, the man just didn't think that it was a good thing to be a Christian. And maybe you have had experiences of that, or you've heard stories like that as well. Leaders of churches who teach other people to do the right thing, but they fail to do the right thing themselves. They can talk like they know Jesus, but they don't live like they know Jesus. And Jesus is saying that if you are his follower, then you need to live that way. So who are the real followers of Jesus? Jesus summarizes with one more comparison. In verses 24 to 27, we are given another image of two different kinds of people. One who builds his house on the rock, And because his foundation is strong, it stands strong even when storms come. The other person builds his house on sand. And because the foundation is weak, when storms come, it comes crashing down. The foundations of the house are most important. A weak foundation means a weak house, and a strong foundation means a strong house. As we've seen in the news more recently, and 5 years ago also, Japan is a place that experiences many earthquakes. In 1995, the city of Kobe was hit by a massive earthquake that killed thousands of people and destroyed many, many buildings. But it was then that the authorities of Japan decided that they would need to design their buildings to be more resistant to earthquakes. So since then, Japanese buildings have been made much stronger by laying thicker and stronger foundations. So now the Japanese are world leaders in earthquake-resistant technology that allows buildings to stand strong even through earthquakes. The stronger the foundation, the more resistant the building. So what Jesus is teaching here is that those who live their lives built on Jesus' words as a foundation are those who are who have the strongest foundation for life. No matter what trials come in life, and no matter who tries to bring them down, they remain strong until the end because their foundation is built on Jesus' teachings. They have trusted in Jesus' words as the words of life, and they have practiced what he has taught. And as a result, they will stand in the judgment. So how does this affect us today? Well, firstly, I'd like to mention an old song that summarizes this quite well. The first verse says this: "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand." So my question for all of you tonight is this: what foundation are you building your life upon? And what are you trusting in? Are you listening to what the world says? Or are you clinging to what Jesus actually taught? Are you following the wide path to destruction? Or are you taking the narrow path to life? Are you a tree that bears good fruit? Or are you a tree that bears bad fruit? Are you building your life on the solid rock of Jesus' words? Or are you building your life on sinking sand? As Jesus says, it's so easy for us to be led astray by the teachings and the ways of the world around us. And there are so many things around us that try to grab our attention. But what is the real truth? What should we really commit our lives to? Jesus is making a huge claim here, saying that those who follow him will find life, but those who reject him will only head towards destruction. Like I said, I don't want people to head towards destruction, and that's exactly why I and the other Credo leaders teach the things that we teach. We want people to find the narrow path towards life. And so if you are curious about that, and if you would like to chat to us more about that, then please do. Please grab us afterwards or something, or in your small group Bible studies, and chat to us about these things, because we would love to chat to you more about it. Now, secondly, if you do call yourself a Christian, then are you living the life of a Christian? Jesus tells us that the Christian life is the hard and narrow path, the unpopular path. But Jesus understands that it is a difficult path, and it is also a lifelong journey. Jesus doesn't expect us to be perfect immediately, but if we say that we are his followers, then we need to try. Now, I've known from high school years that being a Christian means taking the unpopular path. Growing up as a Christian, in high school and in uni, and now as well, I've had to fight many battles with my own heart. During my uni years, when I started to grow more as a Christian, that is when I really began to struggle a lot more against my own heart. Jesus' words were telling me one thing, but my heart wanted to do something else. So there was this kind of constant battle within my own heart as I struggled with all sorts of things, including doubt as well. The path of Jesus' followers truly is the difficult path, Because what you're doing is you're fighting yourself, and you are also fighting against the world. When I was in high school, a Christian friend said to me that living the Christian life is easy. And I actually thought the same. And that was probably because I was not actually obeying what Jesus taught. It is so much easier living your life without obeying Jesus. Because once you start practicing, you really do start to see that it is the path with the most resistance. And I realize how true Jesus' words are. Because if you're living correctly as a Christian, then you will face resistance. Just a few years ago, I had to help my dad to fill out some tax return forms. And my dad suggested that I lie about certain parts of the tax return. Now, I refused to lie about it. And he actually got angry at me and he said, "Harry, how are you going to live, how are you going to get by in your life if you act like this? You can't always be so honest about everything, or else people will take advantage of you and you will live a very hard life." And I told him straight that even though obeying Jesus will make my life harder, it is worth it in the end. And really, that is what I believe. That even though life is hard as a Christian, it's all worth it in the end. Because the narrow path is the path that leads to life. So you too, if you choose to follow Jesus, you will be faced with many tough decisions in life. And there will be many times in your life where you'll be forced to decide, will you obey Jesus or will you take the easy way out? Will you choose to lie about being sick like everyone else at your workplace? Or will you choose to go to work even though you'd rather be on holidays? Will you choose to listen to your parents when they tell you to do the things that are wrong? Or will you disobey your parents so that you can obey God instead? Will you choose to sleep with your boyfriend or girlfriend before you get married? Or will you choose to be patient and wait? Will you choose the higher paying job even though it would mean that you won't be able to attend church anymore as a result? The choices you make in your daily life will reveal your true heart. Are you living your life based on the foundation of Jesus' teachings? Or are you following something else? Are you a genuine follower of Jesus Christ? Or are you just faking it? Consider this carefully, because the consequences will affect your life eternally. Please pray with me. Father, we thank you for showing us the narrow path. And even though it is a difficult path, we know that it is worth it in the end, because we know that that path leads to life. We ask that you might strengthen us so that we might learn to live in obedience to your words. Amen.